Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship on this beautiful Lord's Day. So happy to have all of you joining with us in worship today. My name is Jonathan Tompkins, one of the pastors here, and I want to welcome all of you on behalf of the TRUMC family. Those of you in person here in the sanctuary, those of you who are online with us right now on Facebook and YouTube, and then later on those platforms as well, along with those who are at the 8:45 service this morning, all of you today are part of the TRUMC family. We're so grateful that you have joined with us today. We begin our worship. Our choir begins us with our choral call to worship. As they sing and lift their voices in praise to God, let us use this time to lift our hearts in praise to God as well. Let us worship. Now stand as we are able, joining our voices together in our opening hymn of praise. Let us sing. My brothers, I greet you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, our light and our life, I invite you now, please take a moment of hospitality. Greet those around you with Christ's light and with Christ's life. Please remain standing, friends. Please remain standing. During Lent, we speak and sing the Psalms. We call it the Psalter. Today's Psalm is Psalm 32. Y'all are going to have to come back up this way. It's Psalm 32. We begin with our sung refrain, and then we will speak the parts, and your part will be in bold. But let's begin by singing together. It is on page 766 in your hymnal if you would like to read the music. Blessed are those whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed are those whom the Lord does not hold guilty, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I did not declare my sin, my body wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not hide my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Then you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let those who are godly offer prayer to you. At a time of distress, the rush of great waters shall not reach them. You are a hiding place for me. You preserve me from trouble. You encompass me with deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you the way you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be like an unruly horse or a mule without understanding, whose temper must be curbed with bit and bridle. Many are the pangs of the wicked, but steadfast love surrounds those who trust in the Lord. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, O righteous. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Please be seated. And good morning again, friends. Allow me to lift up some announcements for us. You'll find these on the second to last page in your bulletin if you have one. And for those of you online, just a reminder, we do send out a weekly email every Wednesday. And if you're not yet receiving one that, you can go to our website to sign up for our church email. Just some announcements for us today. Oh, please, if you're here in the sanctuary, if you would please begin passing the attendance pads. You'll find them on the middle aisle side of your pews. If you mark down that you're here, and if you're joining us today for the first time, if you give us a way to contact you, we'll just contact you later this week with more information about us. So I want to continue to encourage you to sign up to help lead worship on Sunday mornings. We're always looking for folks to be acolytes and Bible bearers, to give children's moments, to read scripture, and to be our greeters and ushers. You'll see the way to do that with our online sign up. Just a note that this week, the Lenten studies that are led by me and Pastor Christine, we're taking a break this week. Both of our families are on spring break this week, and so no Lenten studies, but Linda Anderson's will still be meeting. Yep. At the Woodlands, and that's at 10 a.m., and they're always looking for new folks to come to that as well. Lenten Prayer is meeting this week as well on Wednesday from 11 to 11:45. This week they are in the parlor, which is in our gym building, and they would love to pray with you there. And then we just want you to plan ahead for Holy Week. In April, we are having wonderful Holy Week events, starting with Palm Sunday and culminating with Easter Sunday, but of course there's a lot that happens between Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday, and we want you to participate in those events as well. So Palm Sunday, we've got our children's Easter egg hunt. We are looking for donations of stuffed Easter eggs, stuffed full of candy and toys that you can start bringing in the next couple of weeks. We'll have Stations of the Cross here in the sanctuary. Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday, we're excited. For the first time in about 3 years, we are getting back together with our friends from New St. Luke United Methodist here in Traveler's Rest. So on Maundy, Thursday, their pastor, James Drummond, will be preaching here in our sanctuary, and we'll all come to Christ's table for communion. And then on Good Friday, we'll be going there, and one of us, Pastor Christine or me, we haven't decided which one yet, is going to be preaching there at their church, and it's going to be a wonderful 2 days of worship with our friends. And then, of course, Easter Sunday, we have our sunrise service here, followed by our two sanctuary services, and bring flowers for the Living Cross. It's going to be a wonderful Holy Week. Friends, we are so grateful that you have joined with us in worship today. We continue now as our choir leads us with our anthem, More Love to Thee.
Thank you.
Amen. I want to invite our children now to come down front and spend the next few moments today with Mr. Brady.
Good morning. I was hoping that I was going to be sharing with you this morning, good morning, a story, kind of a David and Goliath story about these knights called paladins and how they overcame some warriors from way out in San Diego, but I don't get to share that story with you this morning. So I'm going to share a different one with you. So back when I was 20 years old, back in 1995, I had an incredible opportunity to take a bicycle trip, a long bicycle trip. It was from San Francisco, California, way out on the other side of the country to Washington, D.C. And it was about 63 days. And when you're gonna bike that far, some days you bike in beautiful, bright, sunshiny days, and some days it was actually snowing, some days it was raining. And it's the rain that I wanted to talk to you about. So when I went to bike one morning, we got up, and right from the beginning of the day, it was just pouring down rain. And so as soon as I got out on my bike and got out, started getting soaking wet, I was just sad. And I was a little bit upset, a little bit angry. And I couldn't really figure out why, but I just kept on biking. That day I was biking with a friend of mine named Dave Novy. Dave Novy is now a colonel in the Air Force, still a good friend of mine. But Dave and I were biking together. We were biking buddies for the day. And I noticed that when I was out in front, I was swerving around those puddles that were in the road. But then whenever I got behind Dave seemed like he would just hit every single puddle. And when you're the back bike, all that water just sprays up in your face. That wasn't helping my mood. I just continued to get more and more sad, more and more angry. And one point, Dave and I were changing positions again, and I just looked at him. I said, "Man, this is miserable." He looked at me with this childlike face, and he goes, "Are you kidding? I'm having a blast." That's when I realized he wasn't doing a terrible job at dodging the puddles. He was doing an incredible job at hitting every single puddle he could, and he was having a blast doing it. And that really changed my perspective on it, because I started thinking about things differently, and I started having fun with it instead of just dreading it just because it was rain. Because the rain comes whether we like it, whether we want it to be there or not. So we've got to take opportunities in life to make the best of what's there, whatever day God creates for us. I want to share with you from Isaiah 55:10. "As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater." And the eater, that's us. We get to take what the rain creates for us and what the rain feeds for us, and it can feed our bodies and nourish our souls. And so I would just pray as we go through today, whether it's sunshine or rain, it's sunshine, it's beautiful outside. Whatever the day holds, each day that we wake up, that we just welcome it as the day that God has created for us, and that we make the best of every moment we can. Amen.
And thank you so much, Mr. Brady. Children, if you haven't yet, you can grab your worship notes clipboards, take them back to your seat, take some good notes today. And Lisa Ann is here to read our scripture for us. In addition to being on the screen, it's also on the back of our bulletins on our trail guide.
Luke chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. "At that time, some Pharisees approached Jesus and said, 'Go! Get away from here, because Herod wants to kill you.' Jesus said to them, 'Go tell that fox, look, I'm throwing out demons and healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will complete my work. However, it's necessary for me to travel today, tomorrow, and the next day, because it's impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who were sent to you, how often I have wanted to gather your people just as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings. But you didn't want that. Look, your house is abandoned. I tell you, you won't see me until the time comes when you say, blessings on the one who comes in the Lord's name. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
We'll stay seated as we sing our hymn of preparation, Cast Out, O Christ. It's on the screen. The tune is fairly familiar if you listened to the radio in the 1960s. Let's sing together. Fun fact, Amazing Grace can also be sung to that tune as well. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Amen. Y'all are so fun. You really are. I want to invite Mickey Golden, our chair of our Staff Parish Relations Committee, to come with an announcement for us.
Good morning, church.
My name is Mickey Golden, and I currently serve on the Staff Parish Relations Committee as the chairperson. If you've been a United Methodist for a while, you're probably aware that we do things a little differently than other denominations with respect to how long our pastors stay within a particular congregation. Pastors in the United Methodist Church are considered itinerant, meaning that they are appointed to a church by our bishop, with the understanding that at some point in the future, they will be moved. While bishops make the appointments, they do so with consultation with other stakeholders, such as district superintendents, the pastors, and also the church SPRC committees. For the past 10 years, Pastor Jonathan has been appointed to Travelers Rest United Methodist Church and has consistently requested to remain, and the SPRC has concurred with him with his remaining as our pastor. This year, the bishop and the cabinet have determined that Jonathan be appointed to another congregation in South Carolina. Jonathan has been appointed to a church in Hilton Head, St. Andrew by the Sea United Methodist Church. His last day serving the Lord here as our pastor will be on June the 11th. While we are disappointed with this change, we wish Jonathan, Rebecca, Edward, and Mary Elizabeth much love for the wonderful work that they have done here at TRUMC. We will continue to pray for them in the months ahead and for their ministry at St. Andrew by the Sea. Pastor Christine has been reappointed to her position as pastor of discipleship here at TRMC for another year, and we are very grateful to have her and her family continuing to serve the Lord with us in our church and in our community. Pastor Christine does want the congregation to know that she did ask for and wanted the bishop and cabinet to appoint her as lead pastor here, and is understandably disappointed that she was not. So she has taken some time to process that decision that was made, and we continue to offer her prayers and support during this period. Pastoral changes normally take place during the summer. A new pastor has been appointed to take Jonathan's place here, and he will begin on July the 2nd. Our new pastor will be Brian Gilmer, the current senior pastor at Buncombe Street United Methodist Church. Let me tell you a little bit about Brian and his family. Brian, his wife Jennifer, and Bryson, their daughter, come to Travelers Rest United Methodist Church after serving Buncombe Street for the last 3 years. In the summer, after his freshman year in college, while at the Black River Sacahatchee Mission Camp, Brian began to feel God calling him into full-time ministry. He graduated from Spartanburg Methodist College and continued his education at USC Spartanburg, graduating with a bachelor's degree in sociology. He then went on to Erskine Theological Seminary in Due West, and there's where he received his Master of Divinity degree. Brian served the Cowpens Charge, Salem, and St. Andrew's United Methodist Churches from 1999 to 2005, St. Paul United Methodist Church in New Ellington from 2005 to 2010, and at Lyman United Methodist Church from 2010 to 2020. Brian currently serves as the chaplain for the Spartanburg County Sheriff's Department K-9 Unit. Jennifer, his wife, is the daughter, granddaughter, and niece of a United Methodist minister, so she knew what she was getting into when she married him. But she did it anyway. She's a graduate of Wofford College with a bachelor's degree in sociology. She's a licensed social worker who worked for the South Carolina Department of Social Services in Spartanburg, Aiken, Anderson, and Greenville County offices, specializing in working with emotionally disturbed children in foster care, and most recently in the kinship care coordinator for the upstate region of the DSS, encompassing about 10 counties. After 31 years of state service, she retired on the 3rd of April, 2020, and went to work the very next week as a foster care intake coordinator at Epworth Children's Home Upstate Office, where there she recruited foster parents and supported them and the children that are being placed in homes. She decided to take a slight career change by becoming the medical staff coordinator at New Horizons Family Health Services. She assists the chief medical officer and the medical providers of this community health center. Their daughter, Bryson, graduated from Burns High School in 2020. She completed the first 2 years of her college education at Greenville Technical College, and she is working full-time while she completes her final 2 years of undergraduate work in psychology through Capella University. She is a registered behavior technician with Thrive Behavioral Consultants, where she provides one-on-one behavior modification and management for children on the autism spectrum. Lastly, in their family is Murphy, their 9.5-year-old golden retriever. He's already the size of a small pony, and he rounds out the Gilmer family. We pray for all these folks today. We pray for Jonathan and his family, for Christine and her family, and for Pastor Gilmer and his family, as they continue their ministries for God in their respective roles in churches and their communities. Jonathan, I think you might have a few words you'd like to say.
A little bit more than a few. Yeah, thank you, Mickey. Friends, this is the bittersweet aspect of Methodism and of being a Methodist minister. I am excited about what is to come for us, but I'm also grieving about leaving not just a church, but a family that we have gathered over the last decade of ministry together. And so this is bittersweet. Pastor Brian's wife, you know, she knew what she was getting into when she married him, and you, I think, knew what you were getting into when you joined this church, just as I did. And this is just one of those things that we in Methodists, that it's what we do. I am encouraged by the words of Jesus in Matthew 16 when he renames Peter. You know, Peter's name started out to be Simon, and he renamed him Peter. In Greek, Petros, that means rock. And Jesus said, "You are Peter now, the rock on which I will build my church." And I love the Message translation of that verse. He says, the church that will form will be so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will be able to stop it. And friends, this church, Travelers Rest United Methodist Church, is a church so expansive with energy that nothing is going to stop it. We've got such momentum rolling right now, and the energy in this church is phenomenal. And I'm excited to see that energy keep going. I'm excited to see what you, along with Pastor Brian and Pastor Christine and all of our leaders in our congregation, I am excited to see how you're going to keep being the church on the trail that trails Jesus Christ, that walks with him, that serves God and changes lives from now until Jesus comes back. You, my friends, are a wonderful church. I have been bragging about you to Pastor Brian, and he's excited about this church that he is coming to. And here's the thing, is we've got 3 months left together, and I am a pastor, I am not a president, therefore I will not be a lame duck. And I'm hoping that you won't be lame ducks either. We still have some work to do. And you know me, I've already got my sermon series planned out about how we're going to make this transition and do it in a good and faithful way. We've got a lot of work to do together, a lot of work left to do together. And we've got a lot of walking left to do, walking with Christ and walking alongside of each other. Church, are you still ready to walk? Let's keep on walking. And with that said, we continue in our Lenten sermon series today called Walk. We're walking along with Jesus as he sets his face to Jerusalem, walks to the cross, walks to the grave, and walks into the light of the resurrection. And so I want to point you once again to the back of your bulletin to your trail guide. In addition to today's scripture, there's some space there for you to take notes. It's always our hope that God will be speaking a word meant just for you today, and you're going to want to write down those words. And then there are some next steps for the journey. A reminder that we're asking the entire congregation to read Luke's gospel during Lent. And so this week, read chapters 13 through 16. If you're not there yet, that's okay. We still have plenty of time to get caught up as we read Luke's gospel together. Speaking of walking and speaking of birds, speaking of lame ducks, this week, you've noticed already in our sermon series, I've tried to find musical references that go with each sermon. And this week, you know, Jesus compares himself to a mama hen. And I was trying to find some good songs that have bird imagery in them, and they're kind of hard to find. I was thinking like the chicken dance. But that's not really, that didn't really go. And there's an old obscure country song, I think it's by Hank Williams maybe, called Jerusalem Bird Walk. And that title fits, but I didn't know that song, and I was assuming you probably didn't know that song either. So instead of a musical reference, I went with a little bit of wordplay for today's sermon. A hen walks into the fox house. A hen walks into the fox house. Jesus is getting closer to the fox house, to Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets. Jesus weeps over the city of Jerusalem. Now, in our Bibles, we have a lot of books by prophets, but we don't get in Scripture how they died, but tradition says that a lot of the prophets died in Jerusalem, and they died violently at the hands of the people that they were preaching to. Don't get any ideas, church. But apparently the prophet Isaiah, Brady mentioned Isaiah in the children's sermon, apparently tradition says that Isaiah was sawed in half in Jerusalem. So the prophets met some gruesome ends in that city. So why is Jesus going there? I mean, what will be solved by Jesus walking to Jerusalem? Some Pharisees probably know about this, and they come to Jesus and say, "Get out of here, run for your life. Herod wants to kill you." Interesting that the Pharisees seem to be wanting to protect Jesus. We always look at the Pharisees as his adversaries, as his enemies, and yet there seem to be some that are concerned for him. And we read throughout Scripture, there are a few. You know, last week, Jesus was eating at the house of a Pharisee, Simon the Pharisee. So Jesus did have some of them, friends in high places that he was eating with. Other Pharisees that seemed to take an interest in him, Nicodemus, who came to him by night, and then who later helped anoint him for burial. Joseph of Arimathea, who provided his family tomb for Jesus to be buried in. So there were some Pharisees that ended up being his disciples. And these Pharisees today seem to be concerned for Jesus. Get out of here. Don't go to Jerusalem. Herod wants to kill you. We hear Herod, and I think a lot of us go back to the beginning of Luke's gospel, what we call the Christmas story. King Herod, and once he found out that a new king was going to be born, he had all the boys in Bethlehem killed. We call it the massacre of the infants, the slaughter of the innocents. We think of that Herod. That's Herod the Great. This Herod is not that Herod. This Herod is that man's son, Herod Antipas. And this Herod is not liked nor respected by really anyone, by any of his supposed followers. He was looked at as a collaborator with the Roman government. He was a puppet king, therefore not respected. And so Jesus says, and he insults Herod here with an interesting insult. "You go tell that fox." I've always thought that was just kind of funny, Jesus calling Herod a fox. You know, like foxy. That's not what he meant. That wasn't a term back then. Instead, fox, if you go to Scripture, go to the Old Testament, we see that foxes were associated with destruction. They were seen as pests and as scavengers. In the Song of Songs, we see that foxes spoil vineyards. And in the prophet Ezekiel, we see they are associated with jackals. They are unclean. And then in Greek thought of that day, the fox was clever, but they were sly and unprincipled. clever and yet sly and unprincipled, and Jesus calls the ruler of the day a fox. You go tell that fox, look, I'm throwing out demons, and I'm healing people today and tomorrow, and on the third day, I will complete my work. The third day. Jesus is basically saying, look, your daddy, the Herod the Great, he didn't stop me, even though he tried. The tempter, the Satan back in the wilderness didn't stop me, even though he tempted me and he tried. There were certain people that I called to follow me, and they had all these other obligations, and they couldn't follow, and that didn't stop me. Or there were some certain people in high places looking on my followers in low places and not really seeing them for who they really are, and that didn't stop any of us. We are walking to Jerusalem. We are walking into the fox house. And Jesus is also saying, we who know the rest of the story, that death will not stop me. Herod wants to kill me, fine. Because, Jesus says, on the third day, I will complete my work. Well, those of us who know the rest of the story, what happens on the third day? On a Sunday, in a tomb where the dead have been laid, in Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets, death will not stop Jesus. See, Jerusalem, it seems to be the end of Jesus's journey. If you go there, you're going to get killed like all the prophets, like how they all met their end. And yet, we know it is only the beginning of the story, only a beginning of the real walk in the light of the resurrection. We know that on Easter Sunday, Jesus will be walking on sunshine. A little hint about what my Easter sermon title is going to be that day. But we're not quite there yet. We still have a few weeks to go. And Jesus still has throwing out of demons and healing of people to do, according to him. I love this. Jesus is approaching death, and yet he is still giving life. I'm curious if you know of some examples of people who have done this, approaching death and yet still giving life. I was reminded just this past Tuesday, I went to Linda Anderson's Woodlands Bible study, and for those of you who know, they're named, they now call themselves Miriam's Rascals. And they named themselves after Miriam Dupuy. Miriam was a matriarch of our church. She taught that study along with Linda into her mid-90s. And in fact, a week before her death, she was teaching the Midlands, the Woodlands group. And I was reminded of her. We're coming up on a year anniversary already of her passing. But there she was, approaching death and yet still teaching all of us, still giving life. And I wonder if you know of some people like that. I was also reminded this week of a United Methodist pastor who, five or six years ago now, who was diagnosed with cancer and had several bone marrow transplants, and wrote about his ordeal, blogged about his ordeal, preached about his ordeal of trying to live with and overcome this cancer, and ultimately he was not successful. His name's Chris Barrett, and Chris passed about 5 or 6 years ago now. But one of his blog posts, it was right before he went in for a bone marrow transplant, and he coined the term dreadiness. Dreadiness. He says, dreadiness acknowledges that an event that could bring new life takes place in the shadows of untimely death. And so as I deal with my own dreadiness, I take solace from knowing that there is one who has faced the darkness without blinking, who has met every growling menace with conquering love, who has borne in his own scars the wounds of an entire universe. Knowing that steals my soul to bear the pain of these days, not with my own courage, grace, and love, but with his. Dready or not, here comes God, to me, to you, to any in this world who inhabit darkness and who yearn for undying light. Approaching death, still giving life, still throwing out the demons of dreadiness and bringing healing to others. Healing. Jesus was known as many things, and one of them was as a healer. And we read through the Gospels, and we see him healing people physically. He cured the sick. He cured the lame. He brought back the dead. He put his hands on people and healed them. And today, Jesus still heals. Jesus, of course, can't put his own hands on us, and yet his healing works through doctors, through nurses, through surgeries and procedures and the wonders of modern medicine. Jesus still heals. If I've ever visited you in the hospital, you've heard me pray, and part of that prayer is, I thank God for God sending the Spirit of healing and wholeness to work through all of those things, all of our medical marvels today. Jesus still heals physically. And Jesus still throws out demons today. I know that, you know, that was a pre-scientific society, and they didn't have terms for conditions and mental health illnesses, and so everything was attributed to a demon. And yet today, don't we still have our demons? Don't we still have our emotional and social and theological demons that inhabit our heads from trauma we've had in the past? And doesn't Jesus still throw those demons out, cast them out? And he does it through so many things. He does it through when we read his parables. You know, reading through Luke's gospel, we're going to read some beautiful things in the weeks to come. His parables about God always seeking out the last and the lost and the least. You know, God is like a woman sweeping her house and looking for that one lost coin and moving all of the furniture that you can move in order to find that one lost coin. And God is like a shepherd who leaves the 99 and goes after the one lost sheep who has gone astray. And God is like the father waiting with open arms for his lost son, just waiting for him to return, and then running to him, not even waiting for an apology, but running to him. Jesus throws out our demons of feeling lost emotionally, socially, theologically, through those stories, but then he throws them out also by being God's kingdom, not just telling about God's kingdom, but by being God's kingdom and calling his disciples to be that way too, doing those stories, practicing what he preaches. Jesus casts out the demons that destroy, like we sang, our haunting dreads that choke our souls, our hates that stifle joy, our raging griefs, our jealous fears, our shackled hearts, our binding shame. Jesus continues to heal. And he does that through us, through his disciples, when we practice what he preaches, when we are the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus brings healing not just through the wonders of modern medicine, but through ordinary people like you. Jesus brings healing. Reading through Luke's gospel this past week, maybe you read the story of the four friends who had a friend who was paralyzed, and they needed to get near Jesus, and the crowds were so thick that they couldn't get near him in the house he was in. And so what did they do? Remember what they did? Climbed up, went to the roof, and they dug through this poor person's roof, and then lowered their friend on a stretcher in order to get him close to Jesus. And it was the faith of his friends that made him well, according to Jesus. These men were stretcher bearers. Stretcher bearers. Adam Hamilton says that we, too, can be stretcher bearers. We, too, can bring others to Jesus for healing. And we do it in all these ordinary, simple ways that we just call church. We do it when we're part of a small group here, when we're part of a Sunday school class or a growth group, getting to know each other and bringing people into the community where maybe they haven't felt welcome before. We do it through our Stephen ministry or through our Healthy Minds team or through our Homebound ministry team, always reaching out and helping others heal, become whole again. You do it whenever you give an encouraging word to somebody, whenever you pray for or with somebody, whenever you're just there for somebody, you are being a stretcher bearer. You are helping bring another person into the presence of Jesus where they can be healed. You help Christ cast out our demons that destroy. If you read through Jesus' healing stories in the gospel, you'll see that with every healing, there's also a restoration back to the community. That was one of the main aspects of why Jesus healed people, so they wouldn't be outcasts anymore, so they wouldn't be looked at as unclean anymore, so they wouldn't be outside of the community. They were always brought back in. The hurting brought back into community. How can you do this, I wonder? How can you be a stretcher bearer? How can you bring somebody back into the community and put them near Jesus so that he can heal? One of our walks for this week comes to us from Mark Buchanan in his book, God Walk. It's on your trail guide. Walking as friendship. Buchanan references The Lord of the Rings, the books and the movies. Sam the Hobbit says to his friend, "I will go with you, Mr. Frodo. I can't carry the ring, Mr. Frodo, but I can carry you. I will go with you. I will carry you." Oh, Buchanan says, to have such a friend. On your next walk, who will you carry, wakeful in thought, in prayer? Walk this week thinking of who you can carry. Let's talk about Jesus as the hen. This is one of my favorite images of Jesus. A mama chicken with her chicks under her wings. How I have wanted to gather you. Wanting to gather her brood. You know, this goes all the way back to Genesis in the first creation story. We have this line about the Holy Spirit brooding over the waters of creation. We get that brooding imagery of bringing life into being, and we have it here with Jesus as well. All throughout Scripture, we've got great animal imagery for God and for God's people. We are looked at as the chicks under the mama hen's wing here with Jesus, but also in the Psalms, there's a lot of Psalms that compare God to a bird of some sort, and we are resting in the shadow of his wings. That's one of the Psalms. There's, of course, imagery for Jesus as being, we go to the book of Revelation, and it says, look, the Lion of Judah, but then when you actually look, it's not a lion. Jesus is a lamb, and not just a lamb, he is a slain lamb. Interesting imagery there. And then thinking about sheep as well, we all over Scripture are compared to being sheep. God is our shepherd. We are the sheep of his fold, the lambs of his flock. We are not wolves. Jesus says, you are sheep. So we have a lot of animal imagery all throughout Scripture. And so our next walk then that we also have for you is walking with animals. Do not fear if you don't have an animal. We've made allowances for you too. Buchanan says that it's possible that David, this is King David, remember, who started off as a shepherd. It's possible that David learned most, maybe all, of his early lessons in seeking and trusting God from sheep. On your walk today, either with or without an animal companion, reflect on an experience you've had with one of God's creatures. What did this animal teach you about who God is or about who you are in relationship to God? So my friends, walk as an animal, like an animal, with an animal this week, thanking God. But Jesus is a hen. It's a hen. It's not an eagle. See, the eagle was Rome, the governing empire of the time. Rome, whose priorities were power and possessions and the Pax Romana, now the peace of Rome, but that peace was always achieved through war and through violence. So Jesus is not an eagle. A hen, not a fox. You know, the fox, of course, is Herod, whose priorities were power and possessions and peace through kowtowing to the powers that be. So a hen, not a fox. A hen, not even a rooster. I mean, not even a gamecock with a fighting claw, right? We don't even get that. It's Jesus is a hen. When you go to the Holy Land, there is a church that they built on the Mount of Olives overlooking Jerusalem. It's called Dominus Flevit. It's Latin for the Lord wept. And this is where they believe Jesus was sitting when he looked over Israel and he wept over it. And he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills its prophets. And on the altar of that church is this beautiful mosaic. Jesus, the mama hen, the halo around the head with her chicks under her wings. Barbara Brown Taylor writes that Jesus is a hen standing between her chicks and those who would do them harm. No fangs, no claws, no powerful muscles. All she can do is shield her babies with her own body. If the fox wants them, he will have to kill her first, which of course he did. And the chicks scatter in fear. She died where both foxes and chickens can see her, wings spread, breast exposed, without a single chick beneath her feathers. It breaks her heart, but if you mean what you say, then this is how you stand. Now, of course, we know that some of her chicks did come back, thankfully, on that third day, because what seemed to be the end was just the beginning. And so we're not a people of the fox. We're not a people of the eagle. We are a people of the hen. We are called to follow him on the Jerusalem bird walk. We are called to walk into the fox house. The fox house, the house of the sly and unprincipled, the house of tooth and claw, the house of power, possessions, violence, sickness, separation from each other, death. We are called to walk into that house like Jesus with our wings spread, our chests and hearts exposed, our arms open wide, walking Jesus' way of life and health and hope that breaks through evil's thrall, that breathes resurrection into this world, because we know that the end of the story is, oh, just at the beginning. Jesus is the hen in the middle of the fox house, wings out, ready for all of us, whether we're foxes, whether we're eagles, whether we're chickens. He's ready for us all. Who are you going to walk to? Amen. Our prayer today is one of confession. We do this during Lent. We confess. We admit to God and we admit to ourselves the times that we have not walked the way that Christ wishes us to walk. But as we admit and as we confess, we do it with mercy, knowing that God is a God of mercy. And so this prayer is bracketed with mercy. Kyrie eleison, that's ancient Greek for Lord have mercy. And I invite you to sing this along with me before we pray and after we pray. Let's sing together. Kyrie, Kyrie, eleison. Kyrie, Kyrie, eleison. Please join me in prayer. Your part is in bold. Lord, you asked for my hands, that you might use them for your purpose. I gave them for a moment, then withdrew them, for the work was hard. You asked for my mouth to speak out against injustice. I gave you a whisper, that I might not be accused. You asked for my eyes to see the pain of poverty. I closed them, for I did not want to see. You asked for my life, that you might work through me. I gave a small part that I might not get too involved. Lord, forgive my calculated efforts to serve you only when it is convenient for me to do so, only in those places where it is safe to do so, and only with those who make it easy to do so. Father, forgive me, renew me, send me out as a usable instrument that I might take seriously the meaning of your cross. Amen. Come now to our time of offering, and our ushers will come forward to so we can give our gifts and tithes and offerings. Just a reminder, you can place them in the plate, or there are online options to give as well. Let us continue to be a blessing as God has surely blessed us. If you'd like to know more about what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ as part of this congregation, please speak with me after the service. We'd love to point to some discipleship opportunities here at TRUMC. And a reminder, if you're a first-time guest with us today, our hospitality team is at both of our exits. We've got a little hospitality bag for you to welcome you today. Let's go out singing, friends. O Young and Fearless Prophet. It's in the hymnal on page 444. If you can read music, I would recommend opening it. It's to a not quite familiar tune, but let's sing together.
Thank you.
as Jesus continues to lead us forward, let us go walking, following him. Please join me. From where we are to where you need us, Jesus now lead on. From the security of what we know to the adventure of what you will reveal, Jesus now lead on. To refashion the fabric of this world until it resembles the shape of your kingdom, Jesus now lead on. Let us go following Jesus and go in peace. Amen.